how tragic it is that individuals choose in the time we're living at to unmercifully to take a weapon and randomly kill his fellow citizens. I tell you, it's the times in which we live in today. Bible says in the last days, and how many of you believe that we're living in the last days? Amen. We're living in perilous times, and we're living in times over there that we wonder why. But I'll give you the good news and the bad news. Well, I'll give you the bad news first. Bad news is the Bible says it'll wax worse and worse. I'm going to preach about the good news. The good news is why the Lord must return. Amen. Amen. I'm looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not looking for a grave. I'm not looking for a checkout time. I believe that the Lord is going to come back and he's going to rapture the church, and we're going to go and be with the Lord today. And my hope is in that today. And I'm going to do the best that God has given me ability today to preach to you why the Lord Jesus must return. Why the Lord Jesus must return. I'm going to be reading a verse or two out of I'll be going throughout the Bible, but I'm going to read a verse or two out of Hebrews 10 and verse 36 and 37. And we might as well read 38 while they're there. But listen, I'd like for us to stand just for a moment, because I'm going to tell you how important this is. Christ will do more for the entire world in a 24-hour period than all the politicians, all the press, all the physicians, all the preachers, all the professionals, all combined have done throughout the history of mankind with this one advent of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to that. And here's what the Bible has to say. I'm reading in Hebrews chapter 10, starting with verse 36. The Bible reads, "For ye have need of patience." How many of y'all have need of patience? Don't never pray for it, but hey, listen. "We have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive," look at this, "the promise. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, if you will. Father, we thank you so much for your blessed word today. We thank you for the ears that are here to hear, Father. We just thank you for the message. And we just ask, Lord, as a messenger, that you would give us the insight and the needs of the hearts out there today. And I know it's troublesome times, and times almost are so confusing, Lord, but our redemption draweth nigh. And we look forward to your coming, Lord, and we pray, come, dear Lord. And we just pray that you'd go and be with us, watch over and keep us. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. I believe there's a great injustice done throughout the pulpits across America, because I don't hear a lot of preaching today about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And hey, that's my hope of tomorrow, is that Jesus Christ will come today. But I want you to realize how important it is and why the Lord must return. The reason that the Lord must return is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. "For he said, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, grant within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to with the resurrection of the body." Listen, I want you to realize today that that word of adoption means to be as kin to Jesus Christ. I want you to realize today that the Lord must return over there to complete the program of redemption. Amen. Hey, listen, We just kind of get a glimpse of all that Jesus has done in our lives, and we just kind of get a glimpse of what it means to be a child of God. But when he returns over there, we will fully know the program of redemption as we wait for the redemption of the body of Christ. Hey, listen, I'll know heaven's there when I see him. Hey, listen, when I bodily see Jesus Christ in the flesh over there, then I'll realize that he has returned. Not only are we waiting for the redemption of the body of Christ, but we're waiting for the redemption of the plight of creation. I hate to tell you today, I don't know if we got anybody in here that's real big on environmental issues. And if I do, I'm probably going to bust your bubble just for a moment right here. This thing will only be healed when Jesus Christ comes back. Hey, listen. Do you know he's going to wipe all the pollution away? Did you know over there that there's going to be things grow where they never grew before? Hey, did you know over there that all the plight and the curse of the earth will be removed when Jesus came back? You remember what the curse of the earth was? He said, I'm going to make briars, I'm going to make thimble, I'm going to make you work your off. That's what he done to man. But the plight of creation will be cured. Hey, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to that. And not only are we waiting for the redemption, but the redemption of the reversal of that curse. I like that word adoption, by the way. In the Hebrew, it means placing as son. Placing as sons. Hey, the Lord comes back, he'll be made right. There's an attack taking place in America today on Christianity. And once again, I got good news and bad news. It ain't going to get no better until the Lord comes back. Matter of fact, it said in the last day, he said that they'll not listen to sound doctrine, but they're going to raise them up teachers because they have itchy ears. In other words, but I'm going to tell you something about Mossy Mole Church. This is your first time here. This ain't the love boat. This ain't a Burger King. You can't have it your way. This is a battleship. There's a war going on. There's a war going on throughout the world over there. And if you're coming to Moss Memorial Church for me to make you feel good about the life you're living in, then you probably need to go down the road, because the Bible teaches me that there is a time coming that the Lord will come back and there'll be redemption take place only for the redeemed. How many of you folks been redeemed? Amen. When I say redeemed, gosh, I wish we'd have sung that song. I love that song. I'm redeemed. But listen, I preach, I won't sing. Listen, he's coming back to convince his enemies that he was right. To convince his enemies that he was right. Y'all remember a fella in the Bible by the name of Enoch? Jude has a lot to say about Enoch. I'm going to read you a couple of verses over here in the book of Jude. I'm reading out of the book of Jude, 14 and 15. If you ask me what chapter, you ain't never read the book of Jude. There ain't but one in there. Verse 14 and 15. Listen at this. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying, Behold, the Lamb of God cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Now let me tell you something about that 10,000. That's That at the time that Jude was read, how many of y'all ever went over there and said, that man's got a gazillion dollars? You ever hear that? Well, I hate to tell you, there's no such thing as gazillion. And what gazillion means was they got so much they can't number it. That's what he said. They so many. What did he come for with his 10,000s of saints? He came for this. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. No wonder he had to walk with the Lord. Nobody else would walk with him. You preach like that? Hey, listen, I want you to know the Bible says that Enoch was a preacher of righteousness, and he was found not. Enoch is the greatest example of the catching away of the church, of the rapture of the church that you will find in the Bible. He was a man of righteousness, and he walked with the Lord. He walked with him daily, and the Bible says he was found not. That time's getting ready to come when the church will be raptured over there and we will be found not. And we find over there that why the Lord must return is to convince his enemies that he was right. What was he right about? About who he said about himself. He said he's coming back and he did. He said he's coming back, and he did. He also wanted to convince his enemy about what he said in the scriptures, that the scriptures are true. He also wanted the enemy to know what he said about sin and salvation are true. These are just two reasons why the Lord must return. How many folks are looking for the Lord to return? Amen. I didn't hear a whole lot of people. How many folks are looking for the Lord to return? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you ain't looking for him, you ain't going to see him. Amen. Hey, he's coming back for those who are looking for him to return. You can be like those 10 virgins over there, and you can either be prepared, or you can be those foolish ones over there that are about halfway looking for him, but about halfway not looking for him. Ain't got no oil in your lamp, ain't got nothing over there, and you'll miss him when he gets here. And that's exactly what that means, that parable's for over there. I tell you this right here, I could preach until the Lord comes back. But why the Lord must return? Because he needs to call the bride out of the world. Amen. You say, preacher, who is the bride? Well, you're looking at her. Everybody turn to the person next to you, shake your hand, say, good to meet you, bride. I know that's hard for some of you men. But get over it. If you're part of the church today, and I don't care, by the way, there's not but one church. I want you to know that today. There, it's not a denominational thing. It's not a building thing. It's not a religious thing. It's a body of Christ thing made up of those who believe and have accepted Jesus Christ, been washed by the blood, and will be carried away as the church. Amen. As the church. We're part of the body at Moss Memorial Baptist Church. We're part of the church. They're not but one. I want you to note that today. They're not but one. And it'll be made up of all believers from every segment of of religious organizations throughout the world. Because I tell you, aren't you glad that the Lord got a hold of you before church ever did? Or before religion ever did? I'm glad for that. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, is going to say this. But I would not have for you to be ignorant. I like where that starts. I would not have for you to be ignorant. Brethren, concerning them which are asleep, who sorrow not even as others which have no hope. I hate to tell you this today, but these folks out in their cemeteries are better off than some of you folks sitting in the pews today. Amen. How many of y'all believe to be absent from the body is to be ever present with the Lord? Amen. Hey, how many of y'all believe that one day with the Lord is as if 1,000 years here on earth? I want you to realize today that there's a time coming over there, and we don't need to be ignorant of them that are asleep in the grave. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, boys, I like that, sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him. Now, I'll tell you, you know, out here in this graveyard, that's just old house somebody lived in. They done went home. That's the old tabernacle. That's old fleshly part. I'm glad today that these people that we think are out here are up there. Amen. I'm glad to tell you that when the Lord comes back, he's going to bring them up there. They're going to come back down here. The graves are going to bust open, and out of there will be a glorified body like unto Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't much believe that. Well, I don't much care what you want to. Take it up the author. That's what the book says. To call the bride out of the world. For I believe that Jesus died and rose again. So them that sleep in Jesus, will he bring with him? For this we say unto you by the words of the Lord, that we shall all be alive and remain until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Somebody said that'll be Baptist. I don't know. Y'all get that sometime after a while. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I like this last part. Wherefore comfort ye with one another with these words. Amen. That's the most comforting thing I can tell somebody. I tell you, I've been with a lot of folks at their crossing. How many folks have ever been with them at their crossing? I'm going to tell you something. That's some of the most precious time that you'll ever witness this side of glory. That's bidding someone, I always like to say, see you later, not goodbye. You know, there's a difference when you're born again child of God and you're at the crossing and you know that person's been saved by the grace of God. And it's not goodbye. Just I'll see you later. Hey, listen. That's why Christ must return. That's why Christ must return and call the bride. What will he call the bride out of? Will he call her out of the world? But he'll call her up and out of the reach of Satan's power. Amen. Hands-off devil one of these days. Can you imagine what it'd be living life with a hands-off devil? In other words, when he calls the church out of there, we'll be out of the reach of Satan over there. We'll be out of the reach of the powers of Satan that we deal with here in life. And he'll call us up and out of sin's penalty. What is sin's penalty? Well, he said over there in Romans, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, there won't be no more dying. There won't be no more crying. Tears will never be seen on those streets up there. He'll call us up and out of sin's presence. I want you to realize that sin's ever present in our lives today. It's an ongoing battle, I tell you. We had a wonderful Sunday school lesson. I wish that all of you had been here because you missed a good one this morning. And we was talking about how that we have to deal with chronic things. And I want you to know that sin is a chronic disease. Hey, listen, if you don't battle it, it'll overtake you. I battle diabetes. And I tell you, you know, if I eat something and I tell my wife it looks good, she slaps it out of my mouth. I said, don't eat no more of that because you can't have that no more. I'm on a canine diet. Somebody asked me the other day, said, what kind of diabetic diet you got? I said, I eat just like my dog. Whatever she puts in my bowl, I eat it. That ain't fun. But that's a chronic disease. And you can either deal with it or die with it. You are you with me? Well, I'm telling you that sin is a chronic disease. We don't have to deal with it. And the problem is that sin has got out of control in America. Hey, listen, I want you to realize today that as we look over there and you think you shake your head and wonder, honey, you might as well hang on. It's going to get worse. You might as well prepare yourself that in the last days, the Bible says that they'll have a form of godliness and they'll deny the power of. The Bible says over there that it will wax worse and worse. Why the Lord must return. You know, Acts chapter 15, verse 16. I won't read that. Acts chapter 15 and verse 16 says this. As we look at the promise of his coming. But in Acts chapter 15 and verse 16 says, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build it again, the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. When the Lord returns, it will end the church age. Are you with me? When the Lord returns, the church age will be ended. Right now, we're living in the dispensation of grace. It was given to the church. It'll go with the church. Are you with me? So why must the Lord return to close the church age? You have to close something to start something. I'm not a very computer person. Matter of fact, it was dangerous the day that they made me touch one of them. But I know that a lot of times I said, well, this computer's slow. It ain't working. Well, you got to close something so you can start something. You ever try to do that? Got a bunch of stuff open, trying to do something else, and it just sits there and looks at you. Well, if the Lord don't come back, he can't close something to start something. be the end of the church age. We'll be going off to be with the Lord. But after the church age, after this church age, a lot of people says, well, what's the purpose of tribulation and what's the purpose of the end time tragedy over there? It's a ministry to Israel. That's what it's talking about here. It's a ministry to Israel. As a matter of fact, if you look in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. By the way, on Wednesday night, we'll be teaching with some prodding. They have got me to teach prophecy again. Haven't taught it here in several years. I know the last time that I taught prophecy here, we taught it for 6 years. Longest class I ever had. Of course, I've been pastor here for 39 here come September. But in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, it said, and after I looked, and behold, a door was opened to heaven. And the first voice that I heard was as it were as a trumpet talking unto me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you things which shall be hereafter. Aren't you glad that the Lord's going to speak to the church and say, come up hither? Just like he did John the Revelator. And we're going to be up there and we're going to see all this stuff that's going to happen. And we're going to see that just as John the Revelator got to see it happen. But after the church age is closed over there, and listen, you do not want to miss this. You do not want to miss this, because what has got to happen if we're going to close the church age, what are we going to open up? We're going to open up a time of tribulation. Matter of fact, the Bible says that there'll be 7 years of tribulation, but the last 3.5 of tribulation, it was said, will be times as man has never known before. As a matter of fact, if the Lord did not come back in those 3.5 years, the Bible says there'll be no flesh saved. It says over there that in one fell swoop, that 1/3 of the world will be wiped off the face of the map. 2/3 of the world will burn during that time over there. That will be the time that we known as the tribulation period. But if the Lord don't come back, he can't close the church age and start the tribulation. You say, that scares me. It scared me too. Hey, listen, the first time I read that, I went to a church one time, and I was going to preach a revival over there, and evidently word had went ahead of what I did like to preach, and pastor called me off to the side, and he said, now I tell you something, preacher, said, we're glad to have you up here, but said, I don't want you preaching none of that revelation stuff in my church. Said, it scares me. I said, it ought to. Listen, there's a time coming that I don't think that it was God's will for anybody to have to go through. That's why that he sent his only begotten son, that we could avoid it. Hey, listen, if you have to go through it, it's your fault today. I'm telling you that the Bible teaches over there in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. It said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. All the nations and the kindred and the people and the tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation is of God, which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about, and about elders and four beasts, and fell before the thrones on their faces and worshiped God, saying, blessed and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our Lord God forever and ever. But I'm going to say this to say this. In verse 17, it said, for the Lamb which was in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of water, and God shall wipe all the tears from their eyes. If the church ain't revealed, See, there's a great number of people. Now, we had a discussion on this the other day. The Bible says right there that there's going to be people saved during this time. Matter of fact, it said there's a number that can't be numbered. Have you ever had them hard cases in your family? I mean, I was a hard case in my family. Just two of us. I don't know if we're the only three of us. Well, I don't know if we're the only hard cases or just the only honest people here today. I don't know. Sometimes people get slapped around, knocked on top of the head, get their attention. I'm telling you, when the church is taken out and there's an absence over there and people are wandering over there and you got my attention. After this tribulation age. In closing, I had to go to Blue Ridge, Georgia this week. Because I'm going to tell you something about old men. We're like oak trees. We get old. About half dead. Don't make no acorns no more. We start growing mistletoe. Well, I went to Blue Ridge and had some mistletoe took off. The old gal threw me on the table and whittled me like a stick. To say that is to say this. If the Lord don't come back, you're stuck with what you got. Turn to the person sitting next to me and say, you don't want to keep what you got. If it's your wife, don't do it. I don't want to fight here in church. Listen. Why the Lord must return. It's a change, this old vile body. How many of y'all would like to have a new one? One that don't hurt. You know, God has a ministry in aging and suffering. Number one, if we didn't grow old, we'd never want to leave this place. Would we? If our loved ones didn't sit around and watch us grow old, they'd never want to get rid of us. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So it's a wonderful process by which the Lord has given us that these old bodies decay, they break down. But we'll never get a new one if the Lord don't return. See, the soul... To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That soul returns to the one that gave it. It ain't got no body right now. It will when the Lord comes back. Because it will come to that place of abode and it will be joined and it will be resurrected with a body like unto Jesus Christ. Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 20, I believe it is. That's not what I'm looking for, but it'll do. Twenty-one's what I want, but 20's good too. Let's just read them both. For our conversation... And by the way, the same Greek word for the word conversation is the same Greek word for citizenship. Same word. So you can say conversation or you can say citizenship. Same word. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, it's saying that you're not a citizen down here, that your citizenship is up there. So what does that make us here? That makes us an undocumented alien here. Amen. That makes us a sojourner. That makes us a pilgrimage. In other words, we say, well, this is my life. No, this is your journey. It's not your life, it's your journey. In other words, this ain't your resting place. This ain't where you're supposed to be. This is just a traveling mode that we're in. This is a journey, not a destination. And he went on to say, who shall change our vile body? They could probably put my picture right there, vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the workings whereby he is able, listen, even to subdue all things into himself. He subdued the cancer into himself. He subdued the diabetes unto himself. You know, when he bore our sins upon the cross over there, he took all the ills of society, not only the sin, because what does sin worketh? Sin worketh unto death. But he subdued all things unto himself. Listen, I'm glad to tell you today, by the authority of God, that he changed our vile bodies for the fact that Christ has forgiven us of all our sins. Now listen, if you don't get anything else out of the message today, I want you to get this. See, for years you've probably heard people preach, and for years you've probably heard people teach, and for years you probably heard people say something like this, but I'm here to say that it is a heresy. How many of y'all have heard it preached that we shall all stand before God and give an account of our sins? No. Not for a child of God. My sins were taken care of at Calvary. I don't know about yours. Mine was. And there's nothing I can do more than what Jesus Christ has already done. I'm glad that I'll sit before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a judgment for me. And I'll give an account on what I did or did not do in service for him, not for penalty's sake, but for reward's sake. Listen, Christ must return to change our vile body, because Christ has forgiven us of our sins, and the only way that we can totally know that total forgiveness over there is to be likened unto him, both spiritually and bodily. He'll change our vile body and free us from the power of Satan. Hey, listen, the reason Satan can control you is because your mind, your thought, your eyes, your senses. Why is that? Because we're all subject to sin. See, I got old fleshly eyes. I look at stuff I ought not look at. I've got no fleshly mouth. I say things I shouldn't say. I've got no fleshly mind. I think things I shouldn't think. I've got old fleshly ears. I hear things that I should not listen to. That'll all change when I get a new body. Amen. That'll all change. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? I have not seen, neither has it entered in the heart of man, what it's going to be like. And Christ will fashion us like himself. Well, that's going to be good, won't it? You know, I remember growing up, you know, every generation, they always tried to identify themselves, you know, by. I remember when I was up, it was blue jeans, and whether you smoked or not, you took a t-shirt and you put a pack of cigarettes in it, whether you smoked or not, and you rolled that cigarette up in there. That was kind of the thing back when I grew up, trying to bring some individuality to my generation. Now kids, some of them, you know, you choose. I seen a young kid the other day, looked like he'd fell first, head first into a tackle box. Never seen so much metal hanging off anything like that. Saw one the other day, had every color of the rainbow. Every color of the rainbow, you know. Got to be individual. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, that's how the world is. I'm glad that I'm going to have a body likened to him. I won't be have to be no individual no more. Hey, listen. I will see him when I am like him. Amen. I will see him when I am like him. So why must the Lord return to make being here this Sunday worthwhile for us? Amen. See, I'm looking for the Lord to return. You say, well, I've never heard this preached. If you've never heard this preached, then you've never heard the full gospel. See, he's coming back. Whether or not you want to believe it or not, that's not going to prevent it. Whether or not you want to accept it, that will not inhibit him from coming. He is coming back. And this one thing I know, I'm going with him. I don't know about you, but I'm going with him. You say, how do you know? Because he told me so. See, I take God at his word. I don't take the preacher's word. I don't take a Sunday school teacher's word. I take him at his word. If he said it, I believe it. He's coming after me. You say, well, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm redeemed. I know that, you know, that he's coming. I'm looking forward to that. What about those that's not ready? Well, wouldn't it be a good time to come pray for them? Lift them up. I'm glad somebody prayed for me, lifted me up. Y'all come get a song. I'm done. Are you ready for his coming? I'm going to tell you, since 1948, there is not a piece of prophecy that has to be fulfilled, that's not been fulfilled, to keep Jesus Christ from coming back. It could be just any day. You say, well, I don't much listen. I will tell you this. As far as Charles Shelton is concerned, I know the Lord will be back in the next 30 years. Amen. As far as I'm concerned. That'd make me 95. Oh, I hope he comes back before then. But either way, he's coming. Where you go by the clouds of cloth, it makes no difference. He's still coming. Let's sing a song.